You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
I'm reading Judge Menachem Lieberman. He's a military judge. For many years now, he says, only people of Arab origin have been tried by Israel's military courts, despite the fact that the military court is entitled to try any person who commits an offense under its jurisdiction. For example, when there are demonstrations against the construction of the separation wall, and people are arrested for committing offenses in its vicinity, only detainees of Arab origin are tried by the military courts in the area, whereas Jews or foreign citizens are brought to trial, if at all, in other civilian courts. It is an understatement to say that I'm unhappy with this separation. Such conduct on the part of the investigating authorities smacks of racism, the origin of which I do not understand. So we do.
Threat: Palestinian Political Prisoners in Israel is a new book which was launched this week at the YMCA in Camden. The book deals with the issue of the high numbers of Palestinians detained in Israel as a central problem in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the inequalities it involves, which receive little attention in the media. I met with Threat's editors, Abir Bakr, a human rights lawyer representing Palestinian prisoners and who works for Adala, the legal centre for Arab minority rights in Israel, and Anat Matar, chair of the Israeli Committee for the Palestinian Prisoners and senior lecturer of philosophy at Tel Aviv University. I asked Abir and Anat to explain their motivations for publishing the book.
We established the Israeli Committee for the Palestinian Prisoners without knowing what background material there existed. It was established because we felt there was need for treatment of this issue, but we didn't know whether there was something written about it or not. And then I tried to look for books on the issue, and the story is that I went to the London Review bookshop, which has, as you know, a very rich Middle East shelf. I looked for something on the Palestinian prisoners, since my interest, and there was nothing. So the thing is that there are NGOs dealing with the Palestinian prisoners issues from different perspectives, but mainly from human rights ones or legal issues. But because they are NGOs, not given the political background. Now, Gilad Shalit is in prison, or he's held for 5 years. Before those 5 years, actually, no one really heard about the Palestinian prisoners. If you could ask even the most active activists in at least the Jewish community in Israel, I'm not sure whether even the Palestinian community was very aware of the number of prisoners that they were held. And once this issue was revealed, to me at least, it was shocking, because we were talking about a huge number. We were talking about an acute problem within the occupied population that is hardly mentioned at all.
To add on what Anna said, usually the context in which the issue of Palestinian prisons appear is either a context of terrorists and fighting terror, or from the Palestinian perspective, it's more humanitarian or solidarity issue, sympathy issue. And we try to highlight deeper aspect of this issue. It's not only a sympathy, that you can sympathize with any prisoner in prison. Nobody who is deprived of his liberty is happy with that. But because they are Palestinians, and because they are actually the others in the eyes of the Israelis, no wonder there is total ignorance of their history, their conditions in prisons, who they are, what exactly they committed, if at all, if there was any justice or injustice made to them. Nothing is said about it. And usually you deal with the occupation as general cause, and the demand is to end the occupation. And the prisoners' issue, of course, it is related directly to the occupation and the occupier and the over-policing or over-control on people. And we thought that this book can really deliver to the public the issue of occupation or the issue of the control and what Israel is actually doing to the Palestinians from another perspective and with more details, in order to convince them that there is unjust situation that is continuing in Palestine.
The book's title, Threat, emphasizes the way in which it's made into a security issue. Can you talk a bit about the development of this discourse of security in Israel and how it came to be such an integral part of the detention system?
First, we chose the word threat for two reasons. Threat can be understood. You can write it even between two brackets or quotation marks, because this is the way the issue of prisoners is being publicized, or that these are the people who are threatening the security of Israel, who are threatening your destiny, who are threatening your state. Therefore, we have to keep them away from the community. We have to hide them and even kidnap them. And on the other hand, the Palestinian prisoners case, it's the biggest threat to any settlement that will be done in the future. If this problem will not be solved, then don't expect anything like any positive consequences or results from any negotiation. Like, this is a core problem. It should be solved, and it shouldn't be marginalized. It should be dealt as well as case of East Jerusalem, as well as the case of the refugees.
I wish to add to that. The term threat is a subjective term. I mean, there's someone who's threatened. Now, it is so obvious to the West in general that Israel is the threatened, and the threat are the Palestinians.
Yeah.
And what we wanted to point at, ironically, is that threat could be read both ways. Israel never conceives of itself, and actually the West hardly conceives of Israel as a threat to the Palestinians. And this is some additional color that we wanted to be read into our title.
And you mentioned that people have been silent about the issue of Palestinian political prisoners, yet the numbers of Palestinian men especially who've been detained is incredibly high. Can you maybe tell us a bit more about to what extent the experiences of being in prison have become a central part of Palestinian culture in general, and also more specifically the struggle against the occupation?
Well, almost each family experienced imprisonment in its life, each Palestinian family. And it's also one of the issues that we are touching in our book. And we're saying that the massive imprisonment, it's not being done because you have millions of criminals. Rather, it is being done to serve and to fulfill a political will of Israel. Because the influence of imprisonment on each family is so harsh, and because of also the way that these people are being imprisoned and trialed, it's against all human rights conventions. So it became so obvious that the imprisonment will be used very strongly by Israel as a political mean in order to silence the struggle, in order to eliminate it, in order to weaken it. And this is what we also show in our book.
And mainly, as you said, the vast majority of the prisoners are men, and they're actually leading persons in their community. This is what led them in the first place to prison. It somehow shows how Israel simply cuts the leadership from the Palestinian society, leaving it much weaker than otherwise it could have been.
There are specific regulations that deal with security prisoners, and we think that it was they were made on purpose in order to facilitate criminalizing these people and in order to discriminate them between security and non-security prisoners. On the other hand, Israel has also some good laws in terms of human rights laws, the basic laws which are equivalent to the constitution of Israel. So as lawyers, of course, we use these laws in order to emphasize that these prisoners are entitled to dignity, entitled to liberty, entitled to be treated equally as well as the other prisoners. Sometimes we challenge the law themselves. We go to court and ask to invalidate any unconstitutional law, such as the law which prohibits meeting a lawyer for a long period of time. Recently, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, had passed two laws which were made or were intending to harshen the situation and the conditions of Palestinian detainees. So we go to the court. This is what we do in order to say that these laws are unconstitutional and they prohibit or, let's say, they violate the right of the prisoners' dignity, of due process, and based on racial profiling. Why racial profiling? Because once you say security prisoners, it means Palestinian prisoners. Nobody can say something else. Jewish prisoners who committed crimes motivated by ideology are not classified security prisoners, and even if they are classified security prisoners, they are entitled to much better life conditions in prison than the Palestinians. This is how we use the law. We sometimes succeed, in very few times, of course. The vast majority of the cases actually failing before the court. Why? Because there is always the notion of the security of the state, and that there should be restrictions on the Palestinians because they, as group, endanger the security of the state of Israel.
Presumably, in terms of activism on this issue, you're quite reliant on going out to the international community.
We do both. We use the international treaties and conventions before the Israeli courts, because after all it's an occupation matter, and the occupation, these treaties should be applicable on occupied territories, including on prisoners. But we also use the treaties which Israel breaches. We go to the UN committees, to the EU, and highlight the violations of these treaties that Israel signed on before them, in order to have records, reports, some concluding observations from them. Now, many people ask, okay, you have these reports, good reports that criticize Israel, but it doesn't serve anything, it doesn't solve anything even. And I think that maybe for the short term, we're not seeing any results, but I think for the long term, they will. For the history, after 100 years, if any person wants to come and see what happened to these prisoners. So these reports are very important. Mm-hmm. These are the only documentation of the situation of prisoners, especially when even the public defender of Israel, who is responsible of reporting on prison conditions, is rarely interested in security prisoners. They don't regard them as subcategory or even as special category. Sometimes here or there you see some criticism on certain issues related to the security prisoners, but still we think that they deserve to have a special report because they are really a different category in prison. You can't look at them as general prisoners because they are not, and they are treated differently. So on the other hand, the public defender also is banned and prohibited to go and see the facilities of the detainees who are classified as security detainees. And I mean in the first time of the interrogation, which is the harshest time, which is the most difficult time, in which torture occurs, in which the abuses stem from this period of time. But the General Security Agency refuses to allow even the public defender, which is an official state agency, to come and supervise these conditions.
I'd like at this point to emphasize for your audience that first of all, the book is not focusing merely on the legal issues. Even those legal articles are written from a political perspective. These are not dry legal analysis, so don't panic. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, those of you who are legal experts, who are lawyers, there's a venue here that can be pursued. This book is also an appeal to the international community. This is why it's written in English in the first place. And we wanted to make the case known. And I think we supply in these legal articles one perspective at least, which can be pursued quite easily. There are legal analyses there, indeed written from a certain political perspective. But I think they supply us with material that can be used for bringing it up in the English Parliament, talking to MPs, to local MPs, to people who may be influential in other ways, in order to put some pressure on Israel to change this. These mm-hmm. are things that can be changed.
Mm-hmm. What exactly would you appeal to people outside of Israel-Palestine to pursue?
The role of the international community is very important. Why? Because it's not a local issue of a violation of human rights inside Israel. This is something that is directly related to any so-called peace process, to the case of the occupation, to the people who are under occupation, and to also the obligation of the international community to supervise over democracy, over democratic countries, whether they are really democratic and they are really practicing democracy as they allege and claim. And it's very important to highlight this, to emphasize that you should be involved if you care about the international arena in general, and in about the future of the relationship between states and countries and so on. This is a very related issue. How they can be involved, they have lots of tools and means. Maybe Anat can also specify some actions.
Yeah, so one of them I just pointed out it, and maybe I'll say a little bit more about this particular one before I move on to others. Israeli Jews in general like to see themselves, and this is how they try to picture themselves to the outside world, as enlightened, as totally democratic, as keeping human rights. Israeli judges go abroad and lecture in the best universities in America and here and in Europe, and they pride themselves with being just in general. And I think we offer enough evidence in order to show that this is not the case. So once this new picture is painted, I think there are several venues. One I just cited, it is meant first of all for legal experts, but also for other people who may be impressed by what we show and promote this picture in front of not only their MPs, but even in front of the Israeli embassy, for example, by way of demonstrations, by way of writing letters, protest letters, or other things. It's important to have an alternative picture to the very strong PR that Israel promotes. This is one thing. The other, I think, it goes to particular issues. One of the most painful things, I think, that are treated in the book is the issue of the administrative detention. Administrative detention is detention without trial. Now, this is used in many democracies, but it is used scarcely a few cases. In Israel, there were times where about 10,000 people were incarcerated under this rubric of administrative detention. At the moment, there are over 200, which is not few. Some of them for years, some of them for 3 years at the moment. The most veteran one was released after 7 years, almost 7 years, as administrative detainee, which is unbearable. This is someone who didn't know until the day he was released. He didn't know why he was there and when he's going to be released, because it's indefinite. So this particular sensitive issue, I think, is something that anyone can. You don't have to be any legal expert in order to read the specific article that deals with that and simply write letters and, again, as I said, just stick to this issue. And one last thing about that, there are, you know, individual campaigns of people who have been taken for political reasons, sometimes children. It's sometimes political leaders who are incarcerated for no reason. At the moment, Ahmed Katamesh is sitting in administrative detention. He's leader of the Popular Front. No one charges him of anything. He's just kept there. And this is after spending more than 6 years as administrative detainee in the past. This is very worrying. So we ask people to just follow those individual cases, those individual campaigns. And
you've talked about what can be done out here and the kind of reactions you might get here. Can you say a bit more about reactions to the book that you have been getting in Israel and Palestine and the general political atmosphere there regarding this issue?
We were upset with the reaction. This is the first. We were upset, but maybe we're not surprised. At the beginning, we thought we might be harassed and the incitement against us both will continue, because it started already when there were news about the coming publication of this book, as if we are working with the terrorists and we are sympathizing with terrorists, or so on. But soon after the publication, we had several launch events. People were interested. This was, I think, for most of them, almost the first time that they hear about details. But unfortunately, we did not see any initiatives after that. And the issue is that this case needs initiatives by people and needs actions, concrete actions. It's not a book about history that nobody can do anything. It's about concurrent issue. It's about a real issue that is happening every day and ongoing. Until now, we did not see reactions and responses that are strong enough. We hope that in the future there will be, after the distribution of the book, maybe will be wider. In terms of the UK, at least the impression we got from the audience was quite good.
Yes.
People were interested. They know there is occupation, but this book brings the details of the occupation, how occupation works and what happens to the people and how the system is working actually. We hope that there will be also, of course, reactions and responses.
Actually, another thing that I hope to achieve here is if there's a lot of noise, if there's good reaction here, maybe that will affect the Israeli public, which has been silent until now. I mean, we hardly got any coverage in the larger media. Activists were interested. We're not surprised and we're happy, and they know much more now about the prisoners than before. And this is very important for us.
Threat is published by Pluto Press and is available to buy now in the UK.
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org